Good morning, human beings out there in the fabric of the universe, contemplating where are you going to have your on-the-go breakfast this morning? Where are you going to get your breakfast sandwich, huh? It's Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, 2019. It is December the 13th. Friday the 13th, 2019, motherfucker. Yep, it is Friday morning, almost 7 a.m., and I'm just sitting here drinking a little bit of my fucking water. Yep, drinking some water. I just made my Glumbus stew for the day, filled it with the meats and vegetables of the earth, the things you find at the Chevron station of your own reject life cycle. If you're a drifter like me, and I'm a drifter, if you're a drifter like me, what else are you gonna do, baby? Tell me where the drifter should go when the night turns to a dark red hot. Tell me where the drifter should go when there isn't no kind of antibiotics for those, things growing inside your pants. Tell me where the drifter should go when the only food of the earth is the fucking pigeon and the rat. Tell me about the drifter. Blown about by the winds of reality. Tell me about the drifter cowboy who sets out on a horse that only has one eye. Tell me about the drifter spaceship captain that sets out upon a planet that no longer exists. Tell me again, my good friend, because it's Friday the 13th, it's almost 7 a.m., and this is the Little Saigon Report, and if you've tuned in to me, it means you don't have anything better to do than to listen to my bullshit. What does that say about you, buddy? What does it say about you? Anyways, we have been on a topic of economics and finance the last couple podcasts mainly. And full disclosure, I am an anarchist. I am not Antifa. If you think anarchists are Antifa, you're a fucking idiot. An anarchist is somebody who doesn't want any government. They don't want a little government. That was my last stop on the Freedom Railroad. I just want a little. I'm a libertarian. Just give me a little taste. Just the tip. Just stick it in a little, but, you know, no full release. Yeah, libertarians believe that you can have a little bit of government, and it goes a long way. They kind of believe this, but the problem is, it's like believing you can have just a little bit of cocaine. Because the problem is, you get a little cocaine, you think, wow, maybe more cocaine is better. And actually, your situation gets worse, but you don't realize it. And then all of a sudden, you got candidates like Gary Johnson saying, bake the cake. And you're thinking to yourself, maybe a little government is still too much. Anyways, that's who I am. If you're asking, do I believe in free enterprise? I believe in the freest form of free enterprise, and that's pure freedom. I do not like lawyers. I do not like mathematical lawyers, which is currently the accounting profession. I don't like the liars and the lawyers and the deceivers. If you're asking me, the actual soil of corruption, The soil within which corruption grows is complexity. It's always been complexity. It's true in computer science, and it's just fucking triply true when it comes to fucking human organizations. More complexity, more fucking crime. That is just how it works, folks. You think all the regulations are there to help you. You are deeply, deeply, sadly fucking confused. These regulations are meant to deceive you so people can steal your fucking money.
But Dan, I thought that we got universal health care with Obama's. I thought that they, you know, fixed all the banking situations with the Dodd-Frank and bullshit. I voted, Dan, I voted, I keep voting, I vote every time.
Anyways, the current show is what I refer to as the tantric trade deal bullshit. Now here's the deal, folks. I believe we're in the midst of the great discontinuity, which means we're in the middle of it in reality. Right now, we are literally in the infinitesimal space of possibility. There is a set of possible functions from day to day, and from day to day, I don't know which function we're on. As of right now, I think we're on the function labeled crack-up boom. And I think that function defines most of our existence, if it's true, for the next couple years. However, that might not happen, folks, because the tricky thing about monetizing debt is you still want to keep, you know, you still want to be people's reserve currency. You still want to be the petrodollar. So it's very tricky. It's going to be hard to pull off. It's kind of why I think they've been, you know, pinching the fuel line, so to speak, with this trade bullshit. They really do want to goose shit in 2020. I think that is the most likely scenario. But it's only about 80% likely, more like 70%. I really don't know for sure. It is just currently the scenario that seems most likely. They're gonna have a trade deal sometime before. Probably it'll be fucking dramatic bullshit, like I said, Christmas Eve. And then blah, blah, blah. But it's very strange. It's this tantric bullshit, back and forth, back and forth. It's why I think the Chinese are in on it, folks. I know. Dan, you're crazy. Are you saying the Chinese are deliberately damaging their own economy? Yeah, I think that they're setting things up to have the one last great boom. And here's the sad thought. There was another, whatever, Michael Snyder or Snyder article, Doom article on Zero Hedge yesterday about the great warm blob in the Pacific Ocean that seems to be killing all the fish. But once again, interestingly enough, all the scientists have no idea why. We don't know why there's this giant dead zone in the ocean. We don't know why. We don't know why all the fish are almost dead and the birds are starting to die because they can't eat fish eggs, but you know, hey, we don't know why. It's a fucking mystery. I mean, we figured out that Osama bin Laden did it 15 milliseconds before the planes hit the buildings, but this giant warm blob, we have no idea why. Yeah. What if, folks, and I've said this in the past, I remember Janet Yellen saying something like this back, and again, I'm going to bring up this quote, it's one of these creepy fucking quotes, because why would she say something like this? It's so fucking creepy. Janet Yellen, and I quote, and I think she said this in 2015, there will never be another recession in my lifetime. It may have been 2014, but the point is, I think she was still chairman, Fed chairman, when she said this. In my lifetime. Now, that could mean one of two things. A, she's dying, so she doesn't expect to live much longer. Poignant. That's so sad. That's one scenario. The other scenario is she knows the system can't stop. She knows it's a Pontiac GTO, as stated. She knows that the Pontiac GTO just has one gear. It's a high gear. She knows that there is no brake. She knows there's no way to turn off the engine. In fact, maybe you can do things like squeeze the fuel line, but that's about it. Because this Pontiac GTO is going to go until it blows up or runs out of gas. And if the gas for the GTO is literally fiat currency, then there really is no limit on the gas. It's just a question of how much fucking you know, how much shit can this fucking Pontiac engine take? And how much shit can the powertrain take before the whole fucking thing rattles to pieces? I really don't know, folks. I mean, they've been running this GTO this way my whole life. So I don't know how much more shit is left in it. I'm not in the know. I'm not at the top level, folks. I'm not a Splendid. I'm not a member of the Splendid class. I'm not a member of the people of the inner circle of Jimulus. I don't know the secrets, but what if Guy McPherson is right about, you know, his theory? And what if the clathrate gun is a real problem? That Snyder article mentioned all those thousands of pockmarks off the California coast, and they're all so symmetrical. Isn't that funny? Well, here's the thing, folks. There's methane trapped below the ocean all around the world. It just happens to be the case that there's a lot of methane, a lot of extra methane and easily convertible organics around the Arctic Circle. Anywho, there's methyl hydrates everywhere. It's just a question of pressure and stability and temperature. If those three things remain consistent, the methane remains relatively inert, basically frozen. But if any of those things changes, you get a release of methane. And that methane, over a 10-year period, is 100 times more of a greenhouse gas than CO2. And frankly, the CO2 won't amount to a hill of beans if the positive feedback of methane release begins. So let's say it's already happened. Let's say the reason why we got this giant fucking blob in the Pacific Ocean of warm water is because, yeah, the Earth is starting to cook. And I don't know why we get, you know, gaslit on the whole fucking, you know, it's going to be an ice age and holy shit, there's this big snowstorm coming. But I got to be honest with you. I look at these fucking weather patterns, these fucking Arctic cyclone bullshit. This stuff looks like manufactured bullshit. It looks so cartoonish. It's like the ridiculously resilient ridge off of the California coast. They say ridiculous because they know it is. If they say it is, then all of a sudden, oh, but they're the ones who said it was ridiculous, so therefore it cannot be a conspiracy. You know what? They know it's ridiculous because they know it's Raytheon. They know it's manufactured. They know it's synthetic. I think Dane Wigington is right. I think the weather is fucked. Now, does that mean the Earth is going to cook? No. But based upon my own experience with the weather in Washington State when I was a kid and the way clouds looked, they looked normal and natural. They looked fractal. If you don't know what I mean by fractal, look up fractal geometry. The clouds today look synthetic. There are straight lines in the clouds. So clouds aren't supposed to have that many fucking straight lines. There aren't supposed to be electromagnetic interference patterns in the sky that change from second to second. I'm not talking about wave patterns that slowly change. Don't give me that confluence bullshit. I'm talking about electromagnetic patterns that flip over. I've seen it with my own eyes. That is not a fucking wind action, asshole out there. Oh, Dan, that's just the wind. No, the wind does not change the shape of a cloud instantaneously with lots of straight lines. I'm sorry. The wind does not do that. So anyways, I don't know what's really going on, but let's just say for the sake of argument that Guy McPherson is right. Then one strategy for the people in charge, in addition to having a place to escape to, you know, they got to have a place to go to. My theory right now is their escape place is Antarctica. I would choose Antarctica. It is not in the Northern Hemisphere. That's where most of the nuclear reactors are. It will likely avoid a lot of the negative impacts of a limited to full-scale nuclear war, which might be baked into the cake at this point. And if they do the caldera trigger scenario, yeah, it's going to be frozen everywhere, so why not Antarctica? And if they've already pre-positioned food and, you know, uranium and nuclear fuel and all the stuff they would need to live there for 100 years or 200 years, why the fuck would they care anyways, okay? They probably want to figure out a way to shut down the reactors, but you know what? If you can trigger a little ice age with a little nuclear war, maybe that problem kind of solves itself or takes care of itself for a while. Maybe. So here's the scenario. They have been deliberately Penting up demand. They've been deliberately holding back demand with this fucking phony trade war bullshit and other actions they've taken. And what they're going to do is they're going to fucking open the spigots. They're going to go to zero interest rates. It's going to be push button quantitative easing. They won't even have to call it quantitative easing because all they'll do is manipulate the repo market to the point that it becomes, like I said yesterday, push a button, Gus. We need $100 billion. Just hold the button down, bitch, until we get that liquidity going. Just like the monkey with the switch, you know? Back in the 60s when they wired up to the monkey's brain that gave him an erection, or excuse me, an orgasm, and the monkey would press the button until it died of a heart attack? Just like that, Gus, just keep pressing that fucking button. Nothing bad will happen. So yeah, if it really were going to be the end of the world scenario, which it kind of would be, if the clathrate gun scenario is real, and frankly, folks, as of right now, because I'm a Christian, I am giving the clathrate gun scenario a likelihood of less than 20%. To be honest, most of that's because I'm a Christian, because I don't think God, I just don't think it's in the plans for us to be cooked in a Venus syndrome scenario. I do think it's possible, though, that the clathrate gun scenario could be a setup to, the one world government bullshit. Folks, all of this is just too fucking ridiculous in its own way to be coincidental and to be accidental. And so, yeah, it could be a scenario where they're trying to set things up for some sort of a savior. I should say false savior, false messiah. But some sort of a guy comes along, you know, think of it like Steve Jobs plus, you know, some sort of Indian guru or something, and comes along and sells us on a new philosophy, a new religion. And this person might even be, and probably will be, transgender. And they will sell us on a new religion and a new philosophy and a new God, because they will solve the great disaster. We were all going to die, but this great Savior came along, and now we are all saved, and therefore whatever the Savior says must be true. Yeah, folks, I don't think we're going to cook alive, but I do think there could be a storyline. Well, they'll try to convince us that's going to happen. And it's already kind of happening. Look at little Greta Thunberg running around the world telling people the sky is falling. Look at Al Gore. Look at fucking all these bozos who fly around in their fucking jets telling people that we need to stop flying around in jets. Think about this, folks. We have people like Christine Lagarde, the new head of the European Central Bank, former head of the IMF. We have people like Christine Lagarde telling us that A, they want to be more concerned about the environment, and B, they also want to print money and create inflation. Folks, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you give a shit about the environment, you should be absolutely opposed to debt and absolutely opposed to Keynesian economics, period. And that includes Marxism and socialism. In fact, any form of government manipulation in general, you should be opposed to. But fundamentally, you should be opposed to this banker bullshit. Because this banker bullshit is based upon tearing up the world until there is none left. And guess what? You can do that just as easily using electric cars and soybeans as you can using cows and 4x4 pickups, dude. You can tear up the world just as quickly. I don't care how green you think you are. If there's 10 of you, then it's irrelevant, folks. It doesn't matter how green you are. It's a numbers game. And so, yeah, it's... I don't know, man. People are deluded right now. They're very confused. And I think we're being set up for some fairly ugly, dark shit. That's kind of why I'm going with a crack up boom scenario, because there's a lot of people that need their crack cocaine, so to speak. A lot of the fucking people that voted for Trump, they expected more juice from him. And my theory is, if he is to be the Obama of the conservatives and get another term in office, and that's going to get us to the next part of this topic here, if he does win in 2020, it will be 100% about the economy. If he wins in 2020, it'll be 100% about whether or not he makes a deal with China. If he wins in 2020, it'll be 100% about making sure the Fed does the push-button quantitative easing, which is the under-the-table bullshit, which is what they're going to do, and also basically takes rates down to zero. And if that's the scenario, then yeah. But if Guy McPherson and people like him are right, and Dane Wigington is right, then I think what they're doing, the powers that be, the people that rule the world, they're buying themselves one or two more years to get their shit together. Because that's what this will buy, I think. One or two years of potentially really robust, and I say that with a smirk, economic growth. That's what this big mega China deal and zero interest rates and push button quantitative easing potentially gets you. And guess what? Push button quantitative easing could easily transform itself into something like UBI, Universal Basic Income, or helicopter money. And here's how. If they do the push button QE, and then good old pal says, hint, hint, Bank of America, why don't you come out with a special program where you forgive credit cards next month or something, and I'll give you a little something, something in the repo market, if you know what I mean, baby. Yeah, that sounds crazy, folks, but that's the kind of shit you do at the end, not the beginning. That's the crazy-ass shit you do when the party's almost over, everybody gets a prize. That's the crazy shit. So yeah, the next couple years could be really interesting, psychologically speaking. Because there will be people who will claim, holy shit, it is nirvana, all problems have been solved. And when they get hit by that car from the side, in their Pontiac GTO going 100, they will be shattered to pieces. They will never fucking recover. That's how big of a shock this will be. But what if? Here's the scenario. What if it is like this? What if there is this push-button quantitative easing plus zero interest rate policy or ZERP plus China trade deal? What if this happens? Well, guess what? I think it means Tulsi Gabbard is for 2024. So my prediction about Tulsi changes. Guess what? This is the great discontinuity, folks. I told you this. In the window, it is hard to make good guesses. Right now, as of right now, if they do the push-button QE plus ZERP plus China trade deal, and probably a Eurozone deal too, and probably with Boris Johnson in the UK, oh yeah, you know about the Johnson. They'll get the deals, and all of this will translate to a lot of crack cocaine for the U.S. and the world economy. It will be morning after morning after morning in America if that happens. And if that's the case, no Democrat could win in 2020. But that's not because your vote counts. That's because of the narrative, the storyline. Folks, I keep saying this. It's not because your vote counts. That's not it. What they're trying to do is align their reality with yours so that your vote is basically irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Right now, the story looks like we're going to experience a crack-up boom, and the election will take place in the first part of the best part. So, yeah, this time next year, we could have actual low unemployment, not the theoretical low unemployment that's due to mostly people falling off of the labor force into the great morass of nothingness. Now, I'm not talking about that fucking accounting bullshit. I'm talking about actual low unemployment. We could have really low unemployment next year. And at that point, lots of people could feel fat, dumb, and happy. And if Powell does the hint, hint, Bank of America, Citibank, JP Morgan, blah, blah, blah. If he does the hint, 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 here's your repo juice. Now go forgive some credit card debt. Go forgive those car loans. Hell, forgive all debt. Let's have a jubilee. They could do a jubilee, folks. Using the repo market. You never know. Or they could do just, you know, a kind of tactical, you know, strategic jubilee. I really don't know. What I am telling you, if Guy McPherson is right, there's a good reason for them to do this, because it does buy them time. They can get into their fucking, you know, they can move to their condos in Chile and Argentina. That's what they'll, that's phase one. Alert, alert, phase one. Alert. Move to your condos in Chile and Argentina. No new movie franchises anymore. Make sure all the popular TV shows have shitty last seasons. Meow. Alert, alert, alert. Move to your condos in Chile and Argentina. Yeah, so it could be something like that. So phase one for them is in the next year they go to their condos in Chile and Argentina. And then for them, it's like, oh, fuck, you know, this great economic boom's great, but oh, you're going to have vapor lock soon. The engine block is melting. Your entire system is disintegrating. So we're going to move to Antarctica. Holy shit, let's trigger some calderas with a nuclear war. And in fact, they may just trigger calderas. Like, they may just say, we've had a horrible seismic event. All of the calderas, and if you don't know what a caldera is, it's a super volcano. All the calderas on planet Earth are being lit up. Hell, Yellowstone is now in outer space. Yeah. And that gets them a little ice age. You say, Dan, what does a little ice age buy them? Well, if the clathrate gun is real, it's kind of like cauterizing the wound. It's the two mules for Sister Sarah way of solving the problem of runaway greenhouse effect. You know, in Two Mules for Sister Sarah, when Clint Eastwood has the fucking arrow and fucking, you know, in his fucking shoulder, and he gets the fucking nun to fucking cut the end off and pour gunpowder into it, light the gunpowder on fire and pull the arrow through. It's that kind of thing. It's that kind of surgery. It's old-timey, you know, cauterize the wound with gunpowder, old-timey bullshit. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to cauterize the wound. And that means essentially trying to refreeze the Arctic by essentially freezing the Northern Hemisphere, probably much or most of it. And also, folks, because these people are stupid, because basically humans are just too smart that we're not, we're so smart we are kind of stupid, because we're like that, oh, by the way, because sometimes we're so smart we're that stupid, it's entirely possible that all these plans go awry, and what they end up producing is something called Snowball Earth. And guess what Snowball Earth is? It's a condition whereby the Earth remains frozen for millions of years. Maybe forever. It's almost as bad, probably technically as bad as Venus Syndrome. Because in Snowball Earth scenario, life on Earth becomes virtually impossible. It just doesn't work. But who knows? Maybe Antarctica, they've discovered the pyramids. They've discovered the ancient Encyclopedia Galactica. They've discovered the ancient words of those strange demonic voices that spoke to the Nazis back in the 20s and told them how to build jet engines and shit. Yep, the ancient cult of Thule. It's crazy, folks. So, here's the branch and sequence. If they're doing the crack-up boom scenario, Trump wins in 2020. That's the storyline. If, however, the trade war, the tantric trade deal situation continues into 2020 and never ends up getting better and only gets worse, then I think we're seeing a false flag sometime next year. Now, Trump could still win, but if we see a false flag, I think Tulsi Gabbard becomes the next president. And if not, she's 2024. Tulsi, 2024 or 2020. But I believe she's the next magical Democrat in the Pez dispenser. Trump was the magical Republican. This is the one I got wrong in 2016. I thought he was just a stalking horse. I thought he was just out there as a fucking gimmick. But no, Trump was always going to be the magical Republican. And Tulsi, I think, is the magical Democrat. What that also means is that in 2020, if the crack-up boom scenario is on deck, I think it's either Hillary or Warren that end up being the ones who run against Trump and lose, okay? It is part of the fucking ceremony. there's nothing like seeing, you know, a couple old white women beat up on by some nasty white man. It actually helps to set up Tulsi for 2024. The meaner the election, the better for Tulsi. But that way, the old women take the hit, and Tulsi wins in 2024 against who? Pence? Pence? Are you fucking kidding me? Nobody writes a story where Pence becomes president, you stupid fuck. That's shitty writing. And oh, by the way, if Janet Yellen is right, there's no 2024. Next topic. Let me double check something here, though. Hold on, folks. Yeah, next topic. Fuck shit. Anyways, next topic. Did you know I was conceived in 69? I came into existence on July the 1st, or sometime technically on the 4th of July weekend, 1969. Sometime on 4th of July weekend, 1969, some crazy shit happened. Oh yeah, by the way, some crazy hinky-ass shit happened between my ma and pa, that's what they say. Sometime 4th of July weekend, 1969, I came out of the 69, you're not supposed to do that. They say the 69 position will produce no fruit. But I came out of the 69. I think that's enough for that topic. I don't even know why I brought that one up. You know, everybody these days gets to identify as whatever they want to. Like, someone can say, I'm not a girl, I'm not a boy, I'm a transmorphic, slightly fuzzy, undulating spasm of a gumbus freak that identifies with a pulsar, but God forbid I say my real birthday was probably someday on 4th of July weekend, 1969. That's when I was born, baby. Yes, it's true. I crawled into the world on March 24th, 1970, but I was born sometime 4th of July weekend, 1969. And I know there are pro-choice people say, Dan, that's apostasy. You can't say that you were born when you were conceived. You weren't born until the government says you were born because, hey, guess what? If you're recently born, you're not born yet now. Did you know that? It turns out that afterbirth abortion is becoming a thing, but no one predicted that back then. No. They all said that was a slippery slope argument. That never happened. Yeah, it's happening, folks. It's happening. So I identify as a man who was born on the day he was conceived. And if you think in terms of God, if you're a religious person, you know, ignore all the sleazy bullshit, okay? Yeah, the way in which you get conceived is sleazy and gross. But God came up with it, so blame him. But ignore that. If you're a Christian, conception is not just about biology. It's about you literally being a thought in the mind of God. God says, holy shit, you know what we don't have enough of on planet Earth right now? We don't have enough Dan. If we have more Dan, the future might resolve itself. It's also possible that he becomes a drunk and a pothead and lives in Little Saigon. But that might be okay too. Yeah, here's the thing. When you're conceived biologically, okay. But if you believe in God, you're not just conceived biologically. You're given a soul, okay? Your parents gave you your DNA, but God gave you a soul. It's something to think about. Next topic, did you know that beer is a vegetable? I tell people this because people ask me, what kind of vegetables do I eat? And I say, well, I eat Rainier. Sometimes I eat PBR. Sometimes I eat Milwaukee's Best. Sometimes I eat the vegetable called hams. And sometimes I even like the Miller High Life. Beer's a vegetable, folks. Beer's a vegetable that was created to clean out the splenic zone. Beer is a vegetable that allows us to go beyond the earthly bounds of those weird kinds of crapola that suck us into the earth every day. Beer lightens the load, so to speak, and oh boy, it helps if you shoot your wad. Beer's a vegetable, folks. I sometimes stutter. You may have noticed this in a podcast or two. I will stutter sometimes. It's something that probably started happening in my teens, maybe when I in my 20s, but I'll stutter. And I don't really know why. There could be many reasons. I didn't have migraines until my 20s, and then around about, I think, 1995. Around about 1995, I got my first migraine. And for the most part, I get them about once or twice a year. And they're not that big a deal, and you roll with it. There are people who have migraines that just debilitate them, to the point that they just, you know, roll up into a ball. My migraines are not that bad, luckily. One of my migraines basically amounts to feeling like you have the flu for 6 hours. I feel nausea. I am light sensitive, obviously. Sound sensitive. In fact, any type of input just makes the migraine worse. And yeah, I feel like I have the flu for about 6 or 7 hours, and then I'm fine. I go to sleep, I wake up, I'm fine. But yeah, since my 20s, I've stuttered sometimes. And I don't know, stuttering's weird. I've heard different explanations for it over the years. Lots of people stutter. It's not the worst thing in the world. I don't even know why I'm talking about it. I am a drifter, folks. Let's talk about my toilet. Yeah, let's talk about my bathroom, but specifically my toilet. Have you ever watched The Outer Limits? That was kind of an alternative to The Twilight Zone. Same kind of premise. Lots of different writers writing little short stories, science fiction for the TV. Of course, The Outer Limits seemed almost every episode was about some weird energy source. That seemed like an obsession. that might have been the reason why it might not have done as well as The Twilight Zone, because you don't make every fucking episode about weird energy sources that take people over. But hey, The Outer Limits was pretty cool. If I'm to believe it, the devil was, or is, the most powerful angel that God ever created. Or more or less, plus or minus. That Lucifer is powerful and strong and smart. And so therefore, if you said to yourself, is there a hell for people who cannot stand a dirty toilet? Is there a hell for people who a dirty toilet would cause them nothing but fear? Wouldn't that, by definition, be the worst fucking toilet in the universe? And this is where I say, checkmate and hold my beer, Lucifer. You should check out my toilet, buddy. Yeah, this is more lame than the playing the fiddle, the devil comes down to Georgia. No, the devil comes to pop a squat. Hey, devil. I heard you could know how to make the worst toilet ever. Can you hold my beer? There is a creature living in my toilet now. I call him Ned. Ned stares at me through one eyeball. I think it's an eyeball because it twitches and moves as I move. It tracks me. Ned and his various tentacles and dendricles and dendrites are covering the inside of the toilet now. It's a greenish-brown mass that undulates and vibrates. It even glows. It has a weird sort of photochemical behavior. Good old Ned's always there for me now. I believe that Ned and I have communicated while I was asleep. Can you imagine, like, the remake of Body Snatchers, where the weird little tendrils crawl up to you through your ear as you sleep? Ned does that to me. But I love Ned. I love Ned, and Ned is alive. And I say to you, Lucifer, you will never find a worse fucking toilet than mine. Checkmate. The devil came down to my toilet. And he left with the crabs. Why don't you leave a message on my answer machine, Lucifer? Tell me about your doctor's visit. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't realize that these things were that bad. Yeah, they're that bad, you fuck. I'm a drifter, people. I am a drifter. I am admitting this. It is not a question of pride. It isn't a question of saying I'm proud to be a drifter. It's just that if I look at my life, yeah, I guess I was married for a while, and that's kind of anti-drifter. But if you ask my ex-wife, she'd probably say, yep, he's a drifter. He could never keep a job. He could never stay in one place for more than a couple years. He was always chasing after some star. He didn't know who he was or where he was going. He's a drifter. And maybe I am a drifter, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. If I am, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, people. Drifter. I'm a drifter, and that's okay. I think Jesus is okay with it. I'm a drifter, just like every other hobo that lives in this strange universe of, well, synthetic poop nightmares. I'm a drifter, baby. I will travel the road in search of whatever warthog I can scrape off the fucking pavement and make a sandwich out of it. I am a drifter. I will eat whatever protein of the earth and greases and oils exist to sustain myself. I will make alcohol out of shoe polish. I am a drifter, and my name is Dan. And I'm also an anarchist and a Christian. And who knows, one day I would love to settle down. You know, I've been in Little Saigon for almost 2 years, motherfucker. And I've been back in Seattle for almost precisely 2 years, holy fuck. That's kind of scary. But I'm a drifter. I am not going to date, and I think I've said this, but I'm going to say it again. In fact, I think it's an important topic. I am not going to date until the apocalypse. All right? I'm just telling you straight up. I am not going to date until the apocalypse. I need to check the time right now. Okay. Now, why is that? Because, listen, folks, number one, and when I say apocalypse, I don't mean the end of all things. I don't know what that is. So I don't mean the apocalypse. But the paradigm, the one that's coming next, and it is going to arrive at some point, I don't think I'm dating until then. I don't want to have conversations about, you know, health insurance and cancer walks and electric vehicles and whatever kind of garbage is floating through the flotsam and jetsam of somebody's consciousness from day to day because they stare at their fucking glowing rectangle. I don't want to talk about the latest war. I don't want to talk about the latest whore. I don't want to talk about all the bullshit in Hollywood. I don't want to talk about any of the bullshit at all. The problem is this. There is no topic that I enjoy that any woman that I know of that I would like to date would possibly enjoy. The probability of me finding a date is zero. It's kind of like finding a price of oil today. There's a price of oil that the shale guys would like to sell at, and that's probably $100 a barrel, plus or minus. And then there's the price the market will pay, and that's about 55 bucks a barrel. Or less, or a lot less, folks. Could be less. There's no clearing price for oil. Guess what? There is no clearing price for Dan. There is no means by which the market can resolve itself. There's what the women want and there's what I want, and they do not intersect. However, my basic theory is this. It's one of the reasons why I'm thinking about starting to exercise again and maybe lose a little weight, is that once the shit starts to hit the fan, then maybe I'll start dating again. Now you could accuse, well, Dan, isn't that opportunistic? You'll be taking advantage of people during their difficult times. Oh, welcome to fucking Seattle, you fuck. This city is currently built on taking advantage of people during difficult fucking times. In fact, I don't want to go into it. I've already told you guys the story of Seattle. Needless to say, folks, I'm not going to date before then. I might never date again. I might never have another girlfriend, and that kind of sucks, but that's also life. It's not like I'm a kid. It's not like I'm a couple years old, folks. And I've talked about this before. I just thought it was worth revisiting. You know, There are many things I might do over the next couple years. Like, for example, I would love to figure out a way to turn this podcast into a going concern to fund my luxurious existence here in Little Saigon, you know. The cocaine and the hookers don't pay for themselves, motherfucker. The cocaine and the hookers do not pay for themselves. They don't pay for themselves, the hookers and the cocaine. They just don't. Next topic. In fact, it could be the last topic, but I'm actually going to read an article from Zero Hedge because it's a good one. And it's not from yesterday. It's from a few days ago, I think. This is a good one. Let's read this fucking article and then talk about it. What do you think? This article is from Tuesday. Today is Friday. Friday the 13th, right? Today's Friday the 13th, like Tuesday the 10th, Wednesday the 11th, Thursday the 12th. Yep. Anyways, this article's from Tuesday. Tuesday, December the 10th, 2019, written by, nom de plume Tyler Durden. If you don't know, a character from a Chuck Palahniuk book, right? And also a character from the movie Fight Club. Yeah, on a long enough timeline, everybody ends up reusing the tropes from Fight Club. Everybody reuses garbage now. Anywho, this one's written by Tyler Durden, and here it goes. Headline, we totally failed as a business. Unicorn scooter impales investors after company goes hooves up. It was a stupid idea at a terrible time. Startup company Unicorn thought they could convince people to spend $699 on an electric scooter, as opposed to simply paying a few bucks each time they use one of the ubiquitous e-scooters littering the cities across the country. After blowing all the cash they raised from investors and pre-orders on Facebook and Google ads, CEO Nick Evans said in an email that the company had totally failed as a business and would spread the cost of this failure to you, the early customers that believed in us. In total, the company received just 350 pre-orders for the glossy white e-scooters, according to The Verge, and nobody is getting a refund, as we are completely out of funding. I'm not going to read the rest of this. I'm going to leave it up to you guys to read this, but holy fuck. This is funny. Anyways, folks, here's the deal. Unicorn scooters. Really, too stupid and too on the head to be real, like too clever by half. It's a company named for what the thing really is. In fact, it's a good example of not being ironic. You know how I've said in the past, a lot of things are ironically named these days, like the smart device? It's not making you smarter. The Patriot Act is not about patriotism, people. Just letting you in a little secret. A lot of things are ironically named these days. War on Terror. Yeah, that's more than just ironically named. And no, yeah, it is terror. But Unicorn Scooters is not ironically named. It is totally appropriate. It is a make-believe thing, company. It is a unicorn scooter. It is a make-believe scooter. I gotta tell you, the name literally tells you that there's never going to be one scooter delivered. If you read a prospectus for this company and it said Unicorn Scooters and you invested in it, what am I supposed to say? It's 2019. What the fuck is wrong with you? Well, I really like they're really green. They're so green, Dan. They love their avocado toast, Dan. Their avocado toast. They're so fucking green. Okay. I don't know how green they are. I can tell you that electric vehicles in general are not nearly as green, quote unquote, as people think they are. If you dig deep enough, you're going to find a lot of horrible industrial processes, a lot of precious metals, a lot of coal tan, a lot of countries in Africa where people are victimized so you can have your green economy. Yeah. Sorry, you didn't know that shit. I'm really, really sorry, actually. Anywho. If you read that prospectus or read the pamphlet or the handout for Unicorn Scooters as an investor or as an, you know, some sort of a high-level fucking dude, you know, if you did that, and you saw Unicorn Scooters, aren't you to blame? Because like I said, folks, it's not like this is 20 or 30 years ago. There was a day and age where I think people would say the typical behavior in the marketplace is not fraud. But for at least 10 years and probably most of my life, it's been progressively more and more, the typical behavior is fraud. It's always been fraud. And Unicorn Scooters told you it was going to be fraud. I mean, I gotta say, it kind of reminds me of, Mel Brooks' original movie, The Producers. The original, you know, the original movie, The Producers, back in the late 60s. You know what the basic plot is? We'll put on a Broadway show where we get lots of money from people, but the Broadway show fails. And so basically you can keep the money, abscond with the funds, and goodbye people, and the thing failed, it's sad, but hey. Listen, this kind of seems like the same fucking kind of scheme. Like, it is almost foolproof. Just about anybody can float a company and say, I did not know any better, because guess what? That's what every motherfucker at the highest level says. Oh, we just didn't know. We didn't know. Bernanke said that bullshit 10 years ago. Fucking Timothy Geithner said that bullshit. Lloyd Blankfein said that bullshit. Jamie Dimon said that. We just didn't know. We didn't know people would turn their homes into schemes. We just thought we got to use their homes for schemes. We didn't know people would lie. We thought we controlled the lying. We didn't know. They knew. They knew exactly what would happen when they goosed the housing market after the dot-com bubble burst. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And when they started their TARP 1, TARP 2, QE 1 through 3, the twist and all the other bullshit, financial bullshit they've been doing, they've known exactly what they're doing. So I ask again, if you were an investor in a company called Unicorn Scooters after the year 2010, who are you to blame but yourself? This is the movie Producers. Rent the movie Producers, okay? They told you this was a unicorn scooter. They told you it was a make-believe thing. They deliberately made a marketing choice to tell you this is total bullshit. I mean, I'm kind of sorry about this, but I'm just, if you invested, I don't think anyone who would listen to me would have invested, but if you invested in a company called Unicorn and you did so after the year 2010, then I feel like whatever happened to you and your money, you kind of deserved. I'm sorry. That being said, I think this is the end of another episode of Little Saigon Report. Uncle Dan has to prepare for a day of, well, it is Friday the 13th. Very likely, the dark forces of the underworld will be visiting me sometime today as I'm drinking my Rainier beer and listening to Pink Floyd and Frank Sinatra. Yeah, anyways, if you like this podcast, if you enjoy it, if you would like to hear more of it, you can donate. There's no requirement. You don't have to. If you don't have the money, if you don't have the resources, please do not. I am happier listening, and I'm happy if you recommend. You don't have to do anything more than listen, and if you like it, recommend it to people. And guess what? That helps. But if you actually want to help financially, there is a donation link on my SoundCloud homepage in the right-hand panel, probably if you're accessing it through a web browser. I don't know about the application on the phone, because guess what? I have a flip phone. I have a flip phone, has no apps on it, and guess what? I'm happy as fuck about it. Anyways. But there is a donation link on my SoundCloud homepage to Venmo. Venmo is fine. It works, folks. Nothing's perfect. It is not a recurring thing. And guess what? If you just want to donate once and listen, that's fine too. Any little bit helps, right? I'll also put a link to Venmo in the description of the SoundCloud podcast, this one. And yeah, we'll go from there. But I hope you have a great Friday the 13th. I hope you recognize that every Friday is another opportunity to get wicked-ass drunk. To get so drunk that your eyes turn completely bloodshot red. You can do it, man. If you believe in yourself, you can accomplish anything. Because it's Friday the 13th, you fuck. Get your shit together. Go get two or three fists of Jack Daniels, baby. Head on down to the river. Head on down to the river, buddy, and drink that Jack. And watch the water flow away.